It's Kieran Ryan here for MoneyWeb. I'm talking to Reginald Demana and Richard Demant from Nedbank Corporate Investment Banking. Reginald is a mining and resources specialist with 14 years of investment banking experience. Richard also works with the mining advisory team and has worked on a number of mining mergers and acquisitions and equity capital raising transactions during his time at Nedbank. Good morning to both of you.
Thanks very much for having us, Kieran.
Can we kick off by reviewing the level of mergers and acquisitions activity in mining over the last year? And can you tell us what were some of the bigger deals and why they were important?
What we have noted is that 2018 and 2017 before that were quite slow in terms of M&A activity in mining. However, some of the big notable transactions would be Harmony Gold's acquisition of some assets from Anglo Gold, Moab Khotsong down in the Free State. So that was quite a sizable transaction. It certainly helped Harmony grow in scale. Secondly, some of the notable transactions again would be Sibanye takeout of Lonmin. That transaction is still going through regulatory approvals, but it's a big one in the platinum space. And again, in the gold, I think we can't ignore certainly Barrick and Rand Gold, as well as now in the last couple of weeks, Newmont and Goldcorp transactions. And why are these transactions important? One is that I think we are returning to the theme: bigger is better in mining corporates, but it is different now. You will recall that in the early 2000s, there were a lot of acquisitions done for cash, as well as big new greenfield projects introduced into the market. That obviously triggered quite a lot of oversupply on the supply side. But also, money that was spent during those times was never really returned to shareholders. Shareholders didn't see a return to that. This time around, however, transactions are being structured differently. It's share-for-share acquisition. So we're returning back to bigger deals, consolidation using shares, and that's a new thing we are noting. The other thing why some of these big deals are important is that out of the mergers, there could be some non-core assets or sub-economic assets that have been sold off by those new bigger companies, and you are likely to see a string of mid-tier producers emerging out of those assets.
All right, good. So you mentioned already Newmont and Barrick as being involved in some of these mega deals. And I guess the whole purpose of that is they're trying to drive down their costs and give them longer lives. AngloGold Ashanti looks like it's being left behind, however. In South Africa, it's got the deepest mine in the form of Mponeng. It's not been able to get its costs down significantly. So there has been talk that it might have to sell Mponeng and exit South Africa altogether. One of your colleagues at Nedcore Securities, Leon Esterhazen, has been quoted as saying AngloGold may have to offer a steep discount to offload Mponeng. I know we're speculating here, but what do you think the South African gold mining sector will look like in 5 years?
I think it is very likely that in the next couple of years, you are looking at a gold sector that does not have AngloGold as well as Gold Fields, and maybe anchored by Harmony Gold, and some of the juniors there, Pan-African, as well as DRC Gold. You will know that Sibanye, while it is quite a big gold producer currently, it has also moved into platinum. Mm. So I think from a pure gold play point of view, you're only likely to see Harmony, Pan-African, and DRC Gold. So gone are the days where our stock market, as well as the economy, was heavily dominated by gold. So it is an end of an era that we are seeing, quite frankly.
Right. You mentioned Sibanye Gold being involved in the takeover of platinum miner Lonmin. Goldfields' only South African mine hasn't made a profit in a year. So are we likely to see more M&A activity in South Africa as a potential way out for struggling mines?
I think there is certainly a case to be made that in the platinum space, the ownership is way too fragmented. Consolidation, we think, is important, in particular in the platinum space. And why is that important is that we think it will give bigger companies, which will now have a couple of assets, to close down unprofitable ounces, versus the current situation where companies have one or two assets and they are unable to take the tough decisions to close down unprofitable ounces, which does not help or support the platinum price going forward.
All right, so we talked about consolidation, but what are some of the other drivers of M&A activity in mining?
Certainly in the South African environment, you cannot ignore black economic empowerment transactions. They remain one of the key drivers of transactions. There is also some exit that is taking place. I think some of the bigger mining companies that now have one or two assets left in the country, it makes a lot of sense for them to exit completely instead of maintaining a high fixed cost overhead by retaining the assets in the country. So I think there's some exit taking place, there's big transactions that continue to drive this, and consolidation as well.
So there are some quality assets coming up for sale, driven by companies looking to divest from South Africa, such as Moab Khotsong and South 32 coal assets. This does start to look like a rush for the exit door. What's your comment on that?
We won't necessarily say a rush for the exit. We think that for every exit, as long as there's a new entrant and the assets are in demand and there are buyers that are ready to take up those assets, it can only be positive. Where we will be concerned is when a company starts exiting and leaving assets undertake maintenance or closing those assets altogether. But certainly where there's an exit, but there is definitely demand for those assets, we wouldn't be too much concerned about it. After all, we're corporate financiers, so we make money when somebody exits and we make money when others buy in.
What are some of the factors driving capital raising for mining going forward?
So there still have been quite a few headwinds in terms of raising capital for mining, particularly for raising equity capital in South Africa. Certainly regulatory uncertainty. Last year, companies were taking a wait-and-see approach with the mining charter. And even now that the mining charter has been released, we're still waiting for the implementation guidance. On the theme of regulatory uncertainty, there have often been sudden changes to tax laws, for example, Tanzania, or significant changes to mining codes despite standstill clauses in countries like the DRC. So this really has created concerns amongst equity investors, and that coupled with a risk-off investor sentiment with South African fund managers that have been exposed to large losses such as African Bank, Steinhoff, and MTN, has certainly created a risk aversion where a number of the fund managers that we speak to are more focused on avoiding large losses than looking for 10 baggers such as new early-stage exploration projects. Certainly, despite all of these headwinds and challenges that we face for raising equity capital for mining companies, we have seen a number of companies that are able to successfully raise both equity and debt funding for early-stage development projects. I think one of the key drivers for this is strong management teams with a proven track record of developing projects, where they're able to show progress at each stage of the development lifecycle. Good examples of this are Orion Minerals, who have successfully raised capital for their Prieska copper zinc projects in the Northern Cape, as well as Alphaman Resources, who has raised the full amount of funding they require to develop the Basia Tin projects in the DRC. So certainly we have seen some successes in this space.
Can we talk briefly about some of the commodities that are showing signs of life in mining, such as manganese, tin, and vanadium? Are there others, and why are these looking promising?
Yes, vanadium, for example, is one commodity that's particularly exciting at the moment. I think at one point we saw the price up over 300% on the back of robust industrial demand, as well as demand from the use in energy storage through vanadium redox batteries. And this combined with supply-side constraints and limited prospects for new supply resulted in a sharp rally in the price. So similarly to manganese, the increase in these prices has led to renewed profitability in these sectors and renewed interest from an M&A perspective. However, it is quite challenging in this environment to do M&A transactions in this space because valuation becomes a big challenge where acquirers are raising concerns about valuations based on current vanadium or manganese prices. And to be able to justify valuations based on these prices can certainly be quite challenging. Then another commodity where we have seen a lot of interest is copper. There's a lot of exploration activity taking place around copper. Orion, I've already mentioned, is exploring in the Northern Cape. And another example is Mod Resources with their project in Botswana. And they recently announced that they had received commitments for $10 million through a private placement, as well as $5 million for a fully underwritten rights offer. So definitely these commodities that have strong fundamentals are creating opportunities for M&A and exploration capital.
Now, finally, when it comes to raising capital for M&A, is there still interest in South Africa as a mining investment destination? What about the future? What are some of the trends and focus shifts that we should look out for?
Yeah, I think there's still appetite. The overall conclusion that we can come to, having looked at some of the precedent capital raisings, you look at Harmony Gold managed to place $100 million worth of shares sometime last year to allow them to finalize the acquisition of those AngloGold assets. You had Sibanye-Stillwater. It raised quite a lot of money, debt and equity, to complete the acquisition of Stillwater. You also have Royal African Platinum, which did raise some cash to complete the acquisition of Maseve Platinum Concentrator. So I think what we have observed over time is that, indeed, money will always follow good assets. So where good assets come to the market, you will not find a shortage of debt and or equity capital that will be available to support such acquisitions. We have certainly seen that with Harmony buying AngloGold assets, there was money available for that. Sibanye-Stillwater raised quite several billions for the acquisition of Stillwater in Canada. Royal African placed some shares in support of the acquisition of Maseve Platinum. And so the list goes on, really. There is no shortage of good assets. What is still a problem from a South African point of view is support for junior exploration companies. Most of that money is unfortunately still coming from Canadians and Australians, and that's where it's still easy to raise exploration capital. And we think that trend is still to continue.
All right, we're going to leave it there. That was Reginald Demana and Richard Demont, Nedbank Corporate and Investment Banking. Thank you both very much, gentlemen.